Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for Gary, and we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that this man loves you and loves your word, loves your truth, loves your spirit. And Lord, he's been faithfully following you for years, and you've been faithfully leading him for years. And Lord, that's just the best deal in the whole world. So we thank you for that. And Lord, we know you're going to lead him. You have been leading him in his preparation even before he was asked to do this. Lord, you were leading him by your spirit, and you'll continue. You've been leading him this week, and you'll lead him right now. But Lord, lead us in how to respond to your voice, and just allow you to touch our hearts and minds today in a way that will bring change. We pray in Jesus' name, Amen.
Thanks, mate. All right. Well, Wayne, those pokies, eh? Anyone remember the Whitlams? I wish I could shine you the right words, blow up the pokies and drag them away. So you're not on your own, mate. It's not just a Christian thing. A lot of people can see the damage done by pokies, right? And that's not our, that's not our agenda, but it's one of the things that makes that spirit within us rise up to demand justice and work towards justice for all people, especially those who have a weakness for whatever the stuff might be. Anyway, I wasn't going to start with that, but I thought I'd throw it in. I couldn't resist quoting an old lyric. Funny about that. Rather than just quoting lyrics from songs, let's listen to the Word of God here, eh? This is from Hebrews 13th chapter. It says, "Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you." Good one, lock that in. "So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?" Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas. And there's a few of those around, I might add. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. Under the old system, the high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin. And the bodies of the animals were burned outside the camp. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. So let us go out to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace he bore. For this world is not our permanent home. That's my point today. This world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. I want to focus on that truth today, but first let me say this from that passage about the old system, the new system. That earth-shattering, mind-blowing, culture-shaking, heart-changing event took place at a site which was no better than a rubbish tip. In fact, the name of the site was Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. It was a pretty nasty place to be. And that's where the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of Glory, allowed himself to be taken after he'd been whipped and tortured and nailed to a cross. And so that meant that the focus was no longer the holy place, the temple in here, the special place, but it was outside the camp. It was in this place of disgrace. It was out there. And if we're followers of Jesus, that's where we follow in his footsteps, right? Maybe some. The uncomfortable places, the dodgy places, because that's where Christ went for us. It was an inconvenient, distasteful, and a smelly spot. But the God of Israel reoriented his people's worship from the temple to another place outside the city walls. Last week, Andrew was talking about changes. Anyone remember that? Yep, he was talking about changes for obvious reasons, because we're grappling with change at the moment in Longevity Salvos. And I think he was trying to say to us, changes come and changes go, but God is with us through the changes. You know, I'm not going to quote any Bowie lines here, okay, if you're a Bowie fan. Too late. It slipped out, didn't it? It's probably fair to say that change is something we have to live with. And if that's true, then it's good to know and be clear about the things that don't change. Some laws of physics don't change. Gravity is gravity, right? Gravity, it happens. You can fool it for a while being in a plane and hopefully stay up there till it chooses to land. But the law of gravity, you can't change that. Ohm's law, E equals IR, all the sparkies in the room. You know that one about the voltage and the amps and the resistance, all that stuff. Boyle's law, remember that? Is this bringing back bad memories of school for you? Boyle's law, Archimedes' principle, all of that stuff. Some of you might thrive on it, love it, but not this little black duck. They're basic laws of physics and they don't change, but there are much more significant principles that affect us all, whether we realise it or not. And here's the three big ones. One, we are created in God's image. All of us. Not just the pretty ones, not just the ones with nice looking skin, but the wrinkly ones too. The ones with hair, the ones without hair. All of us. We are all created in God's image. Number two, we are naturally inclined to deny or abuse that fact. There's that bias within us, like a bowling ball gone crazy. Unless it's corrected, we do the wrong thing. So that's a principle. That never seems to change. And the third one is this. The Creator still loves us with a passion and wants us all back in the home that is prepared for us. So the question is, what does that look like? There are plenty of quotes about home. Maybe you can think of one right now. Home is where the heart is what I was thinking of. Any other quotes about home you want to throw? Home is where the heart lays. Wherever I hang my hat, that's my home. Anything else? Okay, I've stumped you. All right. I won't belabor the point. But home, what's it about? St. Augustine, a long time ago, long time ago, he said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee." Old English, but that's what St. Augustine said a long time ago. So I wonder where home is for you at the moment. Since I was conceived and born in Ipswich in Queensland, that's for Ipswich, not for the conceiving and being born. I was then transported to Rockhampton, and up there we lived at 265 Alma Street, 1 Clanfield Street, 142 Bolsover Street, 79 Canning Street, 142 North Street and 13 Mary Street. That was from when I was 2 till I was 14. Then we moved down to Brisbane. So in total, without boring you silly, I've lived in a total of 29 houses, including the one we're now in, and they'll probably carry me out of there in a box, I think. Hopefully. I mean, hopefully, I don't have to go anywhere else. So if home is about living within the same four walls, then I'm in trouble, aren't I? I had an auntie. Well, it was my mum's auntie, actually, but we called her Auntie Isabel. She lived in Bark Alden. You can hear the crickets. Bark Alden is about halfway to Longreach from Rockhampton. She lived there. She was born there, lived there, grew up there, and stayed there. It's the only town she ever lived in. Some people are like that, but not me. A long time ago, again, a fella called Frederick Coutts, he was the general of the Salvation Army back in the 50s and 60s, I think. He wrote a book called No Continuing City. It was a reflection in his memoirs about being a Salvation Army officer. No continuing city. And of course, he was grabbing a hold of this phrase from Hebrews, where it says we don't have a permanent home here. Our home is somewhere else. And we're heading for it. And we were reminded about that as we sung that song this morning. I'm not yet where I'm going, but I'm a long way from where I was. And then the line that really grabbed Andrew today, I hear a choir of angels cheering me on. How good is that? Whatever possessions or property we own in this city, or whatever importance we place upon it, it should all be held loosely with an open hand, as it were. Our values and the way we relate to people and the way we use our money and resources should reflect the fact that we know another city is coming, a city that will last forever. Amen? That's not going to crumble, this city where we're heading. A city in which we will dwell with God in unbroken fellowship and joy forever and ever. So here's three brief points I want to make about this idea of we're still heading home. We haven't got there yet. Where we are now is not home, really. And that's probably why we have a continual yearning. No matter how good a house we live in, or whether we live in a dump, or whether we're homeless, whether we're sleeping rough, there is a better place a-coming. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. So the first point is this. If we keep that in mind, that this eternal truth of home is still to come, there is an eternal destiny for me, an eternal home, and I'm built for that. There's a place for me. There's a room there. There's even a mosh pit. Hallelujah. Where does it say that? Any legalists out there? I'm apologising here right now. But hey, there's got to be some fun up there too, of course. Remembering this eternal truth will, govern our attitude. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, there's an attitudinal change that happens when we begin to follow Jesus as Lord and Saviour. We start to sense that there's a men at work or God at work sign up in our brain going, yep, we've got a long way to go yet. And so he's working on our mind. The heart has been renewed. Spotless, the righteousness of God in Christ is ours by grace through faith in Jesus. But the mind has been moulded by stuff, experiences, bad decisions, good decisions, relationships that were helpful, relationships that weren't helpful, accidents, incidents, all sorts of stuff have moulded the way we filter everything in life. So God gets to work by his Spirit once we've started to follow Jesus and the renovation begins. And it's more exciting than the block, okay? Just saying. So this fact that our eternal home is still up there waiting for us governs our attitude. Secondly, it'll give us contentment. If you know where you belong, you can relax with yourself. You can feel okay about yourself. And that's a really important key for anyone or all of us who struggle at times with self-esteem. I belong. Do you remember the story of Arthur Stace? Arthur Stace? Anyone? Yeah. Mr. Eternity? Remember when the millennium changed to the 21st century, they splattered this huge, beautiful display with this word, eternity, in some sort of font that was very fancy, on the bridge. That was celebrating this truth that this old guy, Arthur Stace, who'd had a really rough life, for 37 years, this poor and uneducated man walked the streets of Sydney with a piece of chalk in his pocket, probably a few pieces, and he would write between dusk and dawn, and he would write eternity in this beautiful font on the footpaths of Sydney. He also went down to Melbourne and did it there. He never learnt to write. So how did he pull that off? This was a God thing. Mr. Eternity. He had a contentment about where he was going. You know, he ended up an alcoholic. He got saved and had a new reason for living, and that's when he thought, this word eternity just impacted his mind, and he thought, that's the secret. We're eternal beings. Let me read you some of the detail, otherwise I'll forget some of it. Yep, he walked before dawn to dusk and wrote one word on the footpaths, eternity. As it popped up more and more, it became an enigma. Columnists wrote about it, people respected it, and street sweepers went around it. Arthur wrote this word over 500,000 times. He was born in Balmain. Balmain boys don't cry, remember that? Just 3 miles west of downtown Sydney in 1884. He was raised in poverty by alcoholic parents, along with his two brothers and two sisters who were also alcoholics. His sisters were brothel operators. He grew up living in constant friction with the law. So he had a tough life. And yet when he met Jesus, this concept of eternity so impacted him that he just used to write it everywhere he went. He heard an inspirational sermon from the Reverend Hammond, and right then and there he converted, and he was subsequently able to give up the drink. And he said, as I got back my self-respect, people were more decent to me. He eventually became a cleaner and a prayer leader at the Burton Street Baptist Church. There's a heck of a lot more, but you can find it online if you want to have a look at that. So we can find a real sense of peace and contentment when we realise that we don't belong here. We're here and we're glad about that, and I'm glad about it. But ultimately, we belong somewhere else. And the third point is this: it will give us an urgency about our witness as followers of Jesus, because it's not about religious rules and regulations, it's about reconciliation and relationship. If you're into alliteration, reconciliation and relationship is at the heart of the gospel. In fact, friends, if you want to call anything home, you might think, oh, this is like my home here. Friends, this is just our cubby house. Hey? This is where we hang out, right? We meet each other, we catch up with each other, we challenge each other, we share, and we listen to the word, and we celebrate and sing, and then we go home, wherever that might be. But this is just our cubby house. This is not what we're inviting people from the community to. If they come here, that's a bonus. But ultimately, we're inviting people to come into a relationship with Jesus. So that's what gives us our urgency. So that's all I want to say this morning about home. What's home mean for you? If you're old enough, you remember Cliff Richard. Singer with the Shadows back in the 60s. Went to a Billy Graham crusade, got saved, his life changed forever. That's Cliff Richard. Brought out an album called Small Corners. I think it was in the 80s. G'day, mate. Pa will be out there soon, okay? We have our first seeker. So Cliff Richard had this album out and he put this song on there. It's called Going Home. And 3 years ago when my dad passed away, I chose to use this theme of going home. And we played this while we showed all those tear-jerking photos you do of someone who's passed on, right? So Dad's in glory. Dad's home. How good is that? So what I want to do is just listen to this song. We might play it a couple of times. We'll try it once first and see how we go. But I just want you to think about the words. They'll be up on the screen. Not yet, mate. And as the words speak to you, you can either choose to just stand where you are or to come out and kneel down here and pray and reassure your own heart that we belong somewhere else, but we've got grace to see this temporal place where we live and breathe and operate and relate. We'll have grace to get through that, knowing that one day we'll be with him together in his house. Just like the prodigal son. Remember the dad? He didn't just stand up there tapping his foot saying, this idiot spent all my money. I'm going to wait till he gets here and give him the rounds of the kitchen. But he didn't do that. It says the father grabbed hold of his skirt, because that's the sort of gear they used to wear, and ran to meet this long-lost son who had spent all his inheritance on junk. And he was invited back into the house and given full access to everything that it meant to be at home once again with the Father. Okay, let's play the song. Listen to these words. Watch the words. Respond as you read them.